How do I cope with waiting for results?
It's all I can think about. Is the cancer going to come back?
I can't sleep. How do I stop worrying?
We know what goes through your head when you're living with cancer. The questions, the anxieties. We understand because we've been there too. If you or someone you care about has been diagnosed with cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community can help from day one. It's a free, safe online forum for people with cancer to connect anonymously. No question is too big or too small. With over 80,000 members, we get it. We've been there. Whatever you need to ask, we're here. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalogue of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Away We Go with Georgia King is a brand new travel podcast only on Wondery Plus. Each week, celebrity tour guides will whisk you away to their favourite places in the world with intimate, hilarious, heartwarming conversations that remind us of the power of travel to bring us together. Listen to And Away We Go with Georgia King exclusively with Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker and enjoying a beautiful bottle of Topo Chico elsewhere here in Los Angeles. It's Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben. How are you doing today?
Great. I have Vicarious Refreshment because that bottle looks just so wonderful. I am enjoying a bottle of my own, some Blue Bottle coffee, my favorite of all the coffees. So we're both going to be very hydrated. Well, not hydrated, but we'll be lubricated to talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, an absolutely hilarious episode. That's part two of their Milwaukee trip. Before we dive into that, it's all the usual things. You know, be sure to give us a follow on Patreon. We have our bonus episodes there. We did Below Deck Sailing as our bonus episode this week. We have videos you could watch us instead of just listening with Crappens on Demand. There's a group chat there. There's a Discord. There's a lot of stuff you can access there. And we're also going to be making some cool streamlined changes to our Patreon very, very, very soon. Hopefully, fingers crossed, by the end of the month. We'll see. Well, obviously, we'll give you the update because we literally update you guys on, like, it's like, oh my God, this just in. There's a crumb on the table. So that is the news. Ronnie, how did you feel about this episode of Salt Lake City?
Loved it.
So good, right?
If it was a love it or list it, I would say love it.
Yeah.
Sorry for all your hard work, but I'm not listing this property today. I loved it.
Yeah. You know, I was nervous. You know, I was nervous because it opened up with a gag Laverne and Shirley intro, which was cute. But I was like, uh-oh, they don't have anything for us. They're just padding. They're padding the episode. They're coming up with visual gags to make up for, you know, a stagnant episode. I was like, this is bad news. Guess what? It was great, and it was just the editors having fun, and that's allowed.
Although, speaking of bad news, you know what? There really is so much bad news right now going on in the country. I mean, in the world, really, but in the country. I hope everybody. I know everybody's not safe, but you know, our heart goes out to you out there. Yeah. My God, watching
people
what
who've been affected by
is absolutely insane. And we try not to really bring bad news up too much on this podcast because literally it happens every day, but. You know, we have to. I mean, this is crazy. And you know, you guys are going through so much. We love you guys. Stay strong out there. My God, yeah, help each other. Be nice to each other. This is the one time in life you have to be nice to other. Well, one of the times in life you have to be nice to other people.
Ronnie's, of course, talking about, I'm assuming, people who have been victims of Hurricane Milton. And prior to that, Hurricane Helene. So everyone from Florida through North Carolina. So
those are both real fuckers. My God, I've been watching the videos on the ticky-talkie. Those are terrifying.
Oh, so, yeah. I was riveted.
Oh, my gosh.
I was glued to the TV last night watching this hurricane come in. And I'm glad it wasn't as bad as people predicted, but it was still really, pretty terrible.
It's
so
insane. So you guys take care of yourselves, but also know that we live in a world where we do have a congratulations as well, because, you know, that tragedy is happening, but then also this is happening. So I want to congratulate Kyle Richards on being voted Us Weekly's reality star of the year. And I'd also like to congratulate whatever reporter wrote that for the sacks of money they got for writing it, because who the fuck would vote for that? You want to talk about not democracy, Us Magazine. I don't know.
No, Ronnie, you were in such a nice, warm place 2 seconds ago.
I got mad. I got really mad.
Well, it's like, okay, well, everyone who's been affected by these terrible hurricanes, you've now found your place of release and escapism. So let's talk about Whitney and Heather, bad weather. Oh, no! So, but anyway, this episode was hilarious. And so let's dive into it. We do open up with this ridiculous Laverne and Shirley opening credits, which...
Well, it was kind of funny because, you know, Laverne and Shirley, every Housewives show, I think ever, has had the two characters who are like, we're just like Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
And they're never like Laverne and Shirley. Or they say Lucy
and Ethel.
It's one of the two. You know, they're like, I love Lucy or Laverne and Shirley. They're never like any of those people. But this really leaned into it, which I liked. You know,
yeah.
I would kind of like the chocolate factory scene from I Love Lucy, though, at some point. Maybe Whitney and Heather could do that. I'd just like to see, you know,
it'll just
if
be...
the medication works and you can still take down all those little chocolates coming off of the assembly line, you know, because I need a new prescription for my.
Well, they won't be chocolates. They'll just be jewelry. They'll like be earrings from Alibaba coming in on delivery. Like, oh, my God, so many earrings.
I'm sorry. What? What store?
Alibaba, I believe. It's called commerce.
Do you mean Alibaba?
Oh,
you mean Alibaba?
Alibaba. one thing about this Laverne and Shirley opening is I have to. My heart was so happy for Brittany and Maley because they got full on names in this fake opening credits. I was like, they made it. They got their names printed on screen for all of America. Especially, and it was great to see their last names. What was it, Maley's last name, like Workman? I was like, wow, I did not expect that. Also, I feel like you don't have much working on these shows, so that's exciting. And then, the best part was that it ended with also starring Lisa Barlow.
Well, she got her own credit. You know, that's good. She's like F. Murray Abraham, Al Pacino.
Or Heather Locklear.
Al Pacino just had a fucking baby, 84 years old. He just had another baby. I mean, what does your partner have to change both your diapers at the same damn time? Calm down over there. Nobody needs an 84-year-old father. You know, think of the children. You know, it's their time to poop, not yours.
This is why we need to really... We really need to address toxic masculinity head on because it's giving too many people daddy issues. And next thing you know, someone's sleeping with Al Pacino. This is just not right.
Yeah, whatever's going on emotionally in this country that people are sleeping with Al Pacino right now and like getting impregnated by Al. Come on, guys.
Someone had that writhing over their body. They had Al Pacino. Hoo-wah, hoo-wah. No one needs that. We saw Al Pacino in person. We randomly sat at a table next to Al Pacino once. So we've seen Al Pacino in person. We know what we now have a very distinct visual about that on top of someone. It's not.
Yeah, we were sitting with Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin at the Beverly Hills Hotel years ago. And Al Pacino was next to us looking at us like a confused lost dog. You know,
I mean,
like,
he's sitting there.
Who the fuck are you? Why are you here? Is this my house? He was looking like a dog that just wandered in off the street. Like, is this my house? Who
was like, you? Sir, you stole about? Diane Warren's hair. Stop staring with judgment. You're the one who stole her wig.
Okay, so we are here. Everybody's getting ready. Lisa's with her glam team, and they're talking about the Bucks game. And the glam team's like, what are the Bucks? And she's like, it's a sport. Like, wow. So then we go to Bronwyn's room, who's on the phone with her husband Todd, and he's like, oh, hello, I said no soliciting. No, honey, it's me. No soliciting. You do this again, I'm calling the police. I'm on a do not call list.
My wallet's talking to me again.
No, honey, it's not your wallet. It's your phone.
How does my phone talk like that? I don't get a picture on my phone.
Honey, it's Where's a modern phone.
Is we didn't do this at Palm Pilot.
It's like, honey, it's not a Palm Pilot. Palm Pilot's gone now.
I don't trust this credit card talking to me.
Why is my hand flying? Honey, not this one again. It's got a Palm Pilot.
Cut it, gout.
Okay, honey. Yes, we know you've got gout.
So how are you doing, honey?
My foot hurts. How do you think it's doing? There's a reason we didn't call it Foot Pilot. Feet suck. I hate my foot.
So he asked how the game was, and she's like, I don't think I watched a single play from the game because she said something like the fighting started. She said something like there was a fight and it started right when we got there, honey. And nah, nah, nah. And he's like, oh, must have been some interesting discussion. Hello? Hello? A cat stuck up a tree.
Okay, honey, can you just move the camera back? All I can see is your eyebrow.
Oh, who's talking to me, honey?
So she's like, well, you know, you have Heather yelling about a conversation, you know, and like you could have said, like, you know, I know Bronwyn, I know her very well. That's like not how the conversation went, you know, went. She could have like, you know, Lisa could have said that to me and she didn't bother to. And I didn't have that conversation in a vacuum. I mean, you said stuff and I said stuff. Sorry, this was a flashback. I don't know what I'm going.
Yeah, she's just telling him about the fight. And so he's like, so then we cut back to her talking to him and she's like, well, obviously I was upset with Lisa and Heather about the ropes course lunch and I had to get that straightened out. He's like,
whoa, I'm sorry. Could you talk a little slower? Who's roping who? Do you want my social security number? It's okay. My number is 73. Gout. I have gout.
Okay, honey. So she's saying,
basically like, fuck Lisa. I've never fought with her before, but she better come right. And Heather, we started on the wrong foot, but hopefully I got my shit out last night and maybe we can have fun together. I don't know, but I do know this. I'm going to dress like a fucking circus clown today and you're going to like it.
I know. Bronwyn's frown smile is really going strong today because she's still so unhappy. So she's just actively frowning through the entire episode. I really love it. The more she frowns, I think the more I like her. So then we go to Mary's room and she's doing her hair and Whitney is going to have a cultural moment now. She's like, wait a second. What are you putting in your hair? And she's like, it's a straightening comb. Huh? I don't understand. She's like, it's for black girls.
What? Whitney looked at her. Whitney like literally looks at this woman like calculus. She's just like,
her head exploded.
She's like, she didn't know whether to believe it. Have you ever met a flat earther who's just so convincing that you're like, well, wait a minute. No, you know, like somebody's trying to convince you of something and there's just that moment where you're like, well, I'll be open-minded, you know, and then it's like, no. Whitney just has that look on her face like, what?
This has blown her mind. I don't know what, actually, I don't even know what has blown her mind more, that there needs to be different items for different people's hairs, or that there's just something called a straightening comb. She's like, I hear a straightening comb is what they use in Mormonism for certain people. No, it's not like that, Whitney.
Oh, yeah, because it's also a belt.
This is not a belt, Whitney. Oh, I get it.
Sometimes they use electroshock.
It's for the hair, Whitney. It's for the hair.
But you said it's a straightening.
So
she's like, yes. As hostess of this trip, I've taken a lot of notes from my predecessors, a.k.a. Meredith. We're not going to be coloring T-shirts or playing in a park. We're going to tour the Miller factory and go to a drag show at Trixie's place.
It's like, wasn't that last year? Hey, was Whitney the one invited last year to the Trixie thing, or was that Meredith? Why did they do that whole thing in Palm Springs?
I think that they, didn't they co-host it? I don't remember. It was some sort of Trixie thing. Because Whitney was like, I know Trixie, so I'm the president of Palm Springs now. So,
I'm going to the Trixie Motel. She's like, but I'm friends with Trixie.
She's like, but I am a gay son.
But so I'm friends with Trixie.
Well, there was no discussion either way about how close I was with Trixie, so I don't know why you're assuming that you're closer with Trixie.
So she's, yeah, they're going to be going to the Miller factory for a private burr tasting, because we also found another way that when he says things, she says bear. Burr instead of beer.
She says burr.
Some bear.
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 Bear. We're going to have bear.
So she goes,
this drag show is what brought us to Milwaukee in the first place, and I just know tonight's going to be incredible.
Sure will be.
Ow! What are you doing, Whitney? Straightening comb. It's not for you, Whitney.
Whitney, that isn't your door key.
No, but it's straightening comb.
So then we go to Meredith, and Meredith goes to Lisa's room. And she's like, hi, what did you think about last night? Didn't you love the box card? And Meredith's like, well, it was kind of interesting because, you know, I was talking to Angie and she said, well, you know, I'm having a hard time because Lisa doesn't seem to want to talk to me now and starts warning me. Yeah, I know it's true. She started warning me that I should be careful of you.
What? Why?
Whitney joins in. Well, at least I think it was Whitney. Could have just been an Alibaba ripoff of her, which is kind of the same as the original Whitney, if you think about it. I'm sorry.
If you ordered her from Alibaba. So then we see a flash night of the night before. These Whitney and Angie. I love that Whitney also has another bad actor to work with her, because Angie and Whitney together are hilarious. They're like people in the chorus who got like three lines and they're just like milking them for all they're worth. You know, they're both like kind of coming up to Meredith and just like, you know, what are the eels? The eels from Little Mermaid. They're just like,
yeah, they are. They're like henchmen. You know, like when you see like some family movie that takes place in London and there's like two evil henchmen that come and try to like abduct a child, like, hi there, mister, why don't you come with us? We've got some candy and lots of fun games to come with us. It's like, that's what they are like. They're just like, Meredith, we have some news for you, which is ridiculous because Angie and Meredith hate each other. So why in any, there's no context in which Angie would just come over to Meredith and confide something about someone else to her.
Yeah, and Whitney's like, she said nasty things. Yeah, you know, it's like, she said that you fucked half of New York. Do not forget that. That was a long time ago, but it still lives in our hearts.
Well, I mean, it's like the Twilight Zone. I mean, obviously, Whitney and Angie are having issues with Lisa, and they want me to join their team. But Lisa and I have worked really hard to get to a positive place and to forgive each other, and she hasn't done anything new. So why would I get upset with her? What's the point of that? Because I need all the allies I can get to go after Whitney about Alan Borbaugh.
And Lisa's just like, I'm so shocked that people are trying to tell Meredith that I'm not trustworthy. Who's not trustworthy? I mean, like, literally, are you looking in a mirror? Because you're talking to yourself. Because if you think I'm trustworthy, you should look at yourself because you're untrustworthy. Ooh, give me a Benson and Hedges because I just started a burn. Am I right, sisters?
Well, they're trying to turn you against me. And then Lisa has her sick burn of the episode. There's no reason why you should be like trying to fuck with my friendship fuckers. It's a good one.
That's so hurtful. Don't love that. So we cut back to Whitney and Heather's, or we cut to Whitney and Heather's room, and they're like, oh my God, look at us. We're such good friends right now. We're like sisters. We're like Laverne and Shirley. They like a bear. It's like, yeah, we're like from that show. This is amazing. Look, I even got us t-shirts made.
Oh, I was hoping that one of them would be like a nurse's uniform.
No, that's a different Laverne. Okay, Whitney, just keep up. Okay, well, I'm feeling really torn. When Meredith told me about the rumors about Whitney's business, I was hoping that Meredith would bring it up to Whitney, but she didn't. So I guess I'm going to have to be the one that starts this fight.
Gosh, when Meredith came to me and wanted to start something with Whitney, I thought maybe she'll start something with Whitney, but now I'm going to start something with Whitney against Meredith for Meredith, because I'm a good friend.
Okay. I wonder if I'll have a chance later on in the season to say, this is what you do, Meredith. You put in a seed and you make us do it for you.
Because this is what always happens. Meredith is like, well, I opened up a fortune cookie and inside were FCC filings and FEC filings and SEC filings all about Whitney's business. Just putting it out there. And then there you go and tell Whitney and do all the dirty work.
Yeah. So then we see the flashback of Meredith telling Heather about like Bob, and Heather's like, rumors like this, they can hurt a new business. So Whitney needs to know so that she can start doing damage control. But like, I just feel so bad. I mean, I wouldn't want to hurt Whitney and I wouldn't want her to fight with Meredith. Oh, what's going to happen, girls?
Is that something that Laverne would do to Shirley? I'm like, yes, I believe so. I've actually never seen an episode of Laverne and Shirley, but I'm pretty sure it's based off of a mutual hatred of each other that they mask with friendship. No, right?
Well, it's not about that. And if this was our show, it would be called Laverne and Shamey.
Well, you know what?
For never watching Laverne and Shirley. I mean, Jesus Christ. What did you just skip the Bible too?
Well, I will say this. We know this is a show built on friendship because a real friend would tell you, Ronnie, that your microphone has fallen to very quiet levels. I think when you adjusted, there we speak again.
Hello.
It's still really quiet. I don't know. I think when you were rearranging your angle, you must have knocked something out of place in your car. Ronnie's recording from his car today because there is construction overhead in the office. So we have there we go.
Better or worse?
There we go.
Too loud or not?
No, it's too good. Loud. That was the classic Ronnie volume that we were grown accustomed to.
This is in the little center console in the car right now while we record.
You must have hit one of the knobs by accident, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
For those who don't, we're just barely listening. Ronnie held up a piece of recording equipment that has knobs on it.
No, I'm so sorry that my hips are childbearing. Okay.
Did you get that?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Are you in trouble with the law? Need a lawyer who will fight like hell to keep you out of jail?
We defend and we fight just like you'd want your own children defended.
Whether you're facing a drug charge, caught up on a murder rap, accused of committing war crimes, look no further than Paul Berggren.
All the big guys go to Berggren because he gets everybody off.
You name it, Paul can do it. Need to launder some money? Broker a deal with a drug cartel? Take out a witness? From Wondery, the makers of Dr. Death and Over My Dead Body, comes a new series about a lawyer who broke all the rules.
Isn't it funny how witnesses disappear or how evidence doesn't show up or somebody doesn't testify correctly?
In order to win at all costs.
If Paul asked you to do something, it wasn't a request. It was an order.
I'm your host, Brandon James Jenkins. Follow Criminal Attorney on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Criminal Attorney early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
So now we go back to Whitney talking to Lisa. She's like,
hey, so we're going to the Miller Caves to try some burr.
She's what? Like, what do you mean the Miller Caves? What's that?
Like Miller Burr? Laverne and Shirley?
That's stupid. I'm going to pass on that. You're dumb.
What do you mean?
I hope you die. I'm going to pass.
Wait, does this have to do with the straightening comb? Because I just
it's
learned about that, too.
Are you in a stupid straightening comb, bitch? I hate you. I hope you die in your sleep. Hey, Whitney, take a nap so you could possibly die in your sleep. I'll cross my fingers.
So you're not going to come try burr?
No, I don't even know what burr is.
It's like, it's something that feels really good when you drink it and like makes you feel drunk. And it's probably...
Oh, why are you stabbing me in the back?
It's a straightening comb.
come have beer with us.
No! So Lisa's not going to go because she's mad because she just found out from Meredith that Whitney and Angie were trying to turn Meredith against her. So the beer girls all hop into a van and Heather's like, where's everyone else? And Whitney's like, I knocked on Lisa's door and she's like, I'm not going. And then I said, why? And she goes, I don't feel like it. And I said, why? And she goes, I don't feel like it. But I go, why? And she goes, I don't feel like it. Well, somebody hit Whitney. She's in a loop.
Next thing I know, she's gone with Brittany and Maylee.
is Maylee one of the maids at the hotel? Who was that? So cut to 30 minutes earlier, Lisa's like, hey, friends of, so I'm mad at the other girl. So do you want to go curling with me? Oh yeah, I heard there's a straightening comb that's gonna be involved. No, that's something else.
That's different. So they're like, sure. Is Whitney gonna be mad? She's like, hey, Whitney won't be mad. Why would Whitney be mad? You know what? This friendship is like Kit Kats. It's better when we break off every once in a while. Take a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Everything's gonna be great, girls. I'm gonna pretend to like you for a few minutes. You're gonna have so much fun. You're welcome.
So back in the van, Bronwyn's like, that is a wild shift. To not only are we like good enough to go do something, but we're like good enough to go do something and exclude you to who invited her in as a friend. Are you guys following? Like, we should hate on Lisa now, right? Like, we all hate Lisa. I hate Lisa.
Like, I don't think I ever liked a hot ticket in town. I guess I didn't deserve that. Bronwyn coming in at full throttle hottie is so funny to me. She's always dressed so stupidly too.
She's so angry at Lisa. It's hilarious. She can't control it. She's like trying to smile like she's having a good time, but she's actively frowning. Like, guess we're in the cool bus now because Lisa sucks, right, guys? Right? So
she doesn't know how to call it, though, this Bronwyn. You know, I think she's very spicy and I'm really warming up to her.
I really like her a lot
because she really knows how to call it. She's like, well, Maylee and Brittany, I mean, come on. And if I know Lisa, those were the first faces she saw in the hallway. And she said, come, you're coming on this trip with me, which is exactly what happened. She's like, yes. That actually makes sense to me. Like, she senses that this is just to get back at Whitney. And she didn't even care who she pulled in. It's like, just, you've got a white van. You're circling the car. You're circling the school. You're just going to grab whatever kid comes out. What are you going to hold auditions? You know, she's like, get in the van.
Carling. So yeah, Bron was basically like, yeah, I told Lisa I don't think she's been a good friend to me recently, and so that's probably why I'm not on the hot list as much as a curling can be on the hot list. And Angie's like, I am not good with Lisa either. We met and tried to talk the day after her party, and we see a flashback of that where Lisa's like, this is who I am. This is who I am. I'm not gonna change who I am. This is how I've always been. So Angie's like, it didn't really feel resolved. She left upset and I haven't heard from her since, outside of being together.
Yeah, you know, I've known Lisa for 15 years and, you know, we've talked about really deep, important things together. I've had my friends for life. I've had Brow Girl.
Best Brow Girl in Salt Lake City too, by the way.
But I thought our relationship was meaningful, but Lisa pulling away and going dark on me is her fault.
Lisa going dark. What is she in Zero Dark Seven? It's like, we've lost Lisa. Like, she's gone Broadway. Dark.
Yeah, it's like Monday on Broadway.
Everyone needs a day off, even hoofers.
So Mary's like, see, she hasn't talked to you? I mean, she hasn't talked to you since.
In big groups, but we used to talk every day. And Whitney's like,
the only thing that makes sense is if Meredith, did you tell her about what we talked about last night? She's like,
well, yes, I did. Of course I did. She's like, and then she's like, oh, there you go. She's like,
yeah, listen, there you go.
Fresh new news, I'm going to deliver it much faster than Alibaba.
Okay, well, it now makes sense why Lisa is not here.
And Heather's like, so is she avoiding Angie or is she avoiding Whitney? I don't know. It's hilarious. Marius. So Marius, like, she's like, I'm confused. So now we go over to the curling place, and Lisa and the ladies meet Tom, the curling coach. She's like, oh my God, I love this. I've always wanted a perm. When do we start? He's like, well, this is a different kind of curling, but we have some grippers for your feet. And she's like, oh my God, yes. Thank you. By the way, thank you for squeezing us in the last minute. Like, our friends are doing something else. And I was like, I don't really want to be around them today. So we're here at this whatever shitty icy thing with rocks that you got going on for us.
Yeah, we're just here to put the cheese on our feet.
The cheese?
The curls.
Those are cheese curds, and this is not that.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever it is, at least it's not that stupid thing my other friends are doing. They're going to something called a bear cave.
He's like, wait a minute. The beer caves?
Yeah, isn't that dumb?
He's like, no, it's not dumb.
It sure is. It's so stupid. That thing's so stupid, he couldn't even get his parents to pay for it to go on a mission. He's like, no, that's like an amazing thing here in Milwaukee. It's like really important to us. That's our culture.
She's it's like the coolest thing we've ever done. She's like, oh, really? Am I messing up? Where's Sue? Who? Sue? Yeah, Curly Sue. Isn't she around here? So then we go over to the caves. And Renette's like, wow, look at this cave. You know what I call this? Season 6 rental for me and Seth.
Welcome to Miller Valley Caves. And Heather's like, this is so cool. We're in an actual cave right now. This is amazing. Wow, a cave. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna tell that stalactite that another stalactite was talking behind its back, and I'm gonna watch the stalactites go at each other, but only because I'm a good friend.
The stalactite's like, hey bitch, like, oh my God, it's a Monica stalactite, we have to go. So Ben, the guy, is like,
down.
The other stalactite is like, but what about me? Oh my God, a Jen Shaw stalactite. It's the ghosts of our past seasons.
The rocks just start falling on their head. the revenge of Jen Shaw.
Did that stalactite just throw that stalagmite under a bus? Yeah, that stalagmite was called Stuart. Oh, wow.
Well, we're in a cave here because back before refrigeration existed, this is how we kept beer cold.
Wow, so you're saying that you guys knew how to keep beer cold before I had ice cream?
So now back to curling. Okay, Melee, let's see what you got. And Melee's like, sis. And they start curling, and Lisa's like, when I think of curling, I think of, like, lifting weights, but this is fine. Like, anything's better than hanging out with Whitney.
And then Maylee tells us a little bit of her backstory. She's like, and then we see pictures of her as a teenager in an ice skating outfit. So I guess that was her thing.
She was a figure skater at one point in her life.
Yeah.
This is the most sweeping I've done in years. And actually, I'm really good at it. But I hope no one at home gets any ideas because it's not happening there.
So then they're trying so hard to have fun. The newbies are like, we're auditioning. Look at us. We're curling. Woohoo. We're girls. And Lisa's just trying to pretend she can stand these people. She's like, wow, we're going to the Olympics, girl. This is amazing. They do not look like they're having fun.
No, I actually would have loved it. I love curling. I've never done it before, but I love watching it. So then back to the beer cave, Ben is like, so we have a handful of cheeses to pair. So everything on your plate is from Milwaukee. Okay, so there's a cheddar cheese and another cheddar cheese. And that right there is a cheddar cheese. So I, by the way, I hear that one of you hasn't had beer before. Who hasn't had beer? Who's the lucky lady who gets to try Miller beer for the first time? And Mary is like, I haven't. He goes, well, guess what? Are you familiar with champagne? She's like, yes. Well, guess what? This is the champagne of beers. Which we all know is the slogan for Miller High Life, but Mary apparently thinks it's a literal beer champagne.
Yes. And we get a flashback to Mary's knowledge of champagne back in the first season when she's like, you guys, you're drinking Dom Perignon 2003. That came out in 2003, and there was a heat wave, and 5,600 people died, and it made the best grapes of all time. These are people grapes. Enjoy the people grapes. I think the bus is a bus driver. So then
Mary tastes the beer, and we all are like, I'm bracing for her to be like, this is vile. I don't know why people drink beer. What's wrong with it? I don't put stuff like that in my body. But she's like, I like it. I had no idea. She goes, I had no idea there's like upscale beer. It's real. Yes, Miller High Life.
Okay, and then the next beer is something fun and fresh from Wisconsin. Are we pairing it with cheese curds? And Angie's like, how about feta cheese? I am Greek. Okay, I was waiting for everybody to jump in there, but no one did.
Whitney's like, she can't escape the Greek. I mean, look, I'm Whitney, and even I understand that feta cheese is from Greece now. It's been so much.
So now they have another beer, and everyone's like, wow, delicious. To be fair, neither group event looks like anyone's really having fun. I mean, Mary's
have loved both events.
Like beer, and I think it's so funny because Mary's complete personality change is just shocking to me. I've never seen anyone able to fake it this well.
I know. I was surprised when at the end she was like, excuse me, can you hand me a box so that way I can box up my own cheeses? Thank you so much. I'll be the one to do it.
Totally changed. I didn't even notice she did that. That's hilarious.
No, I made that up. But honestly, I love both of these events.
I believe everything. You know, for someone who lies literally all day and bullshits all day, I believe everything I'm told. Like, wow, what a great scene. That's going to live in my memory now like it really happened.
I know. It really will. I know it will. So back to the old curling center. Brittany's like, guys, let me tell you something. Okay, let's get something to drink, guys. And by the way, Jared texted me again. I missed a call, and I have another voicemail. That's like three outreaches from an Osmond.
Shut up. And she's like, it was just devastating to hear that Jared was texting Angie's brow girl. And we get a flashback of that. And all the girls like, oh my God, he was texting the brow girl. She's like, guys, hold on. Ding, 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 ding. I need to give a speech. Guys, I need to know exactly when it was that Jared was texting a brow girl. That is not a speech. Yes, it is.
So. You know, Jared keeps texting me, and I don't want to text him back until I've processed everything, like the cheese they're probably eating at the Miller factory. And I need to figure out why I keep choosing men that always have one foot out the door. Oh, that's right, because he's an Osmond, and they're at the top of the food chain in Utah. Okay, figured it out. I'm ready to move on.
Well, look, I think Jared seems terrible. First of all, and Brittany seems like a goddamn mess, but at least she seems sweet, I guess. But then he released that that thing last week, that message where he's like, Brittany is such an asshole.
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't read it, I'm not reading it. But it's basically, you know, she tricked him and made him look crazy. And he's the one who got her on the show because he's so famous. He just seems like a real fucking douchebag, okay?
Yeah.
Now, that said, Brittany seems a little nuts. And yeah. I just wonder, like, the whole, why do I keep choosing men with one foot out the door? Are their feet both inside the door before you get there?
Are you sure they're not walking by on the sidewalk? Do you understand what a doorway is? You know, difference between a doorway and a sidewalk. Okay.
Because you might be like kind of a fart in that room. You know what I mean? Where someone's like, should I leave? Is it bad enough to leave? And they put one foot at the door and they're just waiting for the attack, the assault. And they're like, well, I could stay, you know, or I could go. You know, sometimes you need to say, why are people always leaving? You know?
Yeah.
Look above your head. Is there an exit sign? You know,
maybe that's what it is. Are you standing at the door of the plane and has the plane just landed? They're reading a text from Jared, and he's saying things like, I can't believe you've done this, you basically terminated our friendship. And they're like look, it says friendship, it doesn't even say relationship. He doesn't say anything that says that, like, you guys are.
It's even worse than this. The text is like, hey best friendy, hey, yes, hey best friend, friend only. He's like, hey one friend, he's like, hey friend only, it's me, one foot out the door, just on my way out, but wanted to take the time and text you and say hi. And she's like, yeah, I can't take it, guys, you know, and I need to process. And they're like, Lisa's like, Brittany, red flags. He's saying friendship, not relationship. Brittany, friendship is not relationship.
Yeah. And we see some of the text and he's like, he basically is like, wow, I got my head bit off. That's real fun, Britt. Hey, give me a call. I know I thought I meant a little bit more to you than to just go dark on me. Obviously, you're not sending me read receipts anymore or red receipts. So you've terminated the friendship. I love that. That's like, that's the line for him. It's like, wow, you used to tell me when used to indicate when you've read my texts. And now I have no idea when you've read them. This is really the end of the line for our relationship. And by relationship, I mean platonic friendship.
But that's also... That also, yeah, our friendship only. But that also says so much about her, too, that she's like, you know what? I'm going to turn on my red receipts so that Jared sees that I've read the text and have ignored the text.
Yes.
Come on. What are you, 12? So, like, your fillers are older than 12. You know what I mean? Like, stop. So then she's like, well, I thought I meant more to him. And she goes, oh, I thought I meant a little bit more. No, that's so manipulative, what he's saying. He's the one who said that, not you. But also they show her last night when she's telling the girls, the brow girl was on February 17th. Well, guys, not to make excuses, but I think we were on a break. We're back together. Ding, 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 ding. Back. We're back, guys.
You know, I haven't known Brittany that long, but I feel like she's the quintessential LDS girl. And in this case, I mean, little dumb slut. Born and bred to please a man. That's the norm for like this culture, to be valuable. But that's a very outdated way of thinking.
And she's like, listen, you don't need a man to fulfill your life. Well, why are you saying that? You have your husband. Oh, John fulfills my trunk when I need groceries loaded in. Or he fulfills my fingers when I need rings put on them. But I mean, come on. He's basically an order fulfiller, but I don't need him. We have Instacart now. I love that.
So then Brittany goes, what he did behind my back, it was treasonous. It was treasonous.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
That's a good word. Doesn't make sense in the context of you. But word. Yeah, treasonous. Sure, why not?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we go back to the caves, and the girls are all cheersing. And Bronwyn's like, oh, well, when... before we got here, I was talking to Todd, and he loves that we're here because his first job was with Miller Brewing Company. He was the packaging manager. Wow. I mean, great. Not here, but he was here for 6 months. I mean, it's just great. He's done so many things. And I met him, you know, like we're like second marriage way later in life. So I just didn't live here with him. I mean, he's done so much before I got there. He actually told me, you know, the first friend that he had that stopped dragging his knuckles on the ground actually taught him how to blow up balloons. It's crazy.
You know, he said he remembers he was putting a Miller beer into a box when news came down the pike that Archduke Ferdinand had been assassinated and World War One had begun. So this is a lot of special meaning for him, this place.
He remembers when the beheading law was passed here because it was like literally 1 week after that let them eat cake lady, Marie Antoinette, got beheaded. I mean, poor thing. What timing, am I right? I'm so glad I wasn't alive back then.
He said he actually did pack up a slice of cake to send to France. And his friend was like, no, it was a joke. So it's hilarious, this whole life.
It's really never gotten humor. It's funny. And you then he was even 50 years old and he still didn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been around a while, huh? So, so she's saying like basically he had a whole life before she was even born. And he'd say things like, wow, he didn't have a color TV when he was a child. And I'm like, what? So that's why sometimes I dress like a black and white TV. I just love avant-garde fashion.
Yeah, I wear them sometimes. Just walking around in a black and white TV. I wouldn't put it past her.
She's like she's very into literal clothing. So
we go back to the other place. Oh no, the beer guy. We're still at the same place. And the beer guy's like, guys, guess what I got for you? Ghost stories. There's ghosts here. And they all just stare at him. He's like, no one? Ghosts?
They're really like, nice ghosts. They're Wisconsin ghosts. So have you ever heard a ghost that goes, boo, oops, sorry, didn't mean to startle you. Just trying to go through the hallway here. Hope you're having a lovely day. Okay, see you later. You know,
these are beer factory ghosts. So they'll burp at you once in a while. But usually they'll blow it to the side. You know,
sometimes late at night in my house, you know, they say my house was haunted. And late at night, if you are really quiet, you can hear the ghosts. You go out into the hallway and you're like, uh-oh, what was that sound? And then you hear, it's a ghost saying, hey, did you catch Yes, Dear tonight? No, honey, that's been off the air for like 12 years. Oh, God, that's too bad.
Who hasn't been, am I right?
The ghost, they love Yes, Dear. Great show for ghosts.
Don't even get them started on King of Queens. Oh, gosh.
Ah, the Monday night lineup on CBS. It's no wonder that CBS actually has a show called Ghosts. That's the number one demographic.
You want to see a bunch of people die again, watch them laugh to death. Watch the CBS.
Remember that show, Hearts of Fire? God, the ghosts love that. Though every single second, it's like, oh my God, Marky Post, Marky Post.
So, yep, got lots of ghosts. And Heather's like, oh, that sounds great, but can I just stay here and maybe open some Blue Moon? That sounds better.
So everybody's like, okay, I guess we'll go see this ghost thing. So this is the first time I've seen housewives. Well, not the first, but in a long time where housewives are given an activity and they don't woo.
I know.
They're like, woo, ghost stories. They're just like, oh, fuck. Now we got to go see ghost stories.
Well, because they're drinking beer and eating cheese. And now they've got to shuffle off to some random room with two teenagers standing behind a bar. And so basically, Whitney and Heather are left alone. They're like, oh, my God, it's like the good old days. And then the rest, they go into this room. These two kids are behind the bar. They're like ready to give their factory tour ghost story.
Can I just say about these tour guides who are standing back there? It's like Donald Trump would say, they didn't send their best. Okay.
Is that what he would say?
Yes. That's his famous line. Like, I mean, we need to build a wall. They're not sending us their best. It's like, this fucking asshole. But it just made me think of that because they're just like, they're like, okay, and here for the ghost stories, here's Darren and you know,
Justine.
Yeah. She's just like,
one thing
that a ghost story for him. Ghosts are dead people.
One thing that Ronnie and I have learned over the summer, since we both took the Guinness factory tour and then I took the Heineken factory tour, these like teenagers that do these tours that give you like little bits of information suck at their job. Here's a fun fact. How many people here have ever heard of wheat? Wheat, yes. Well, in 1912, Mortimer P. Johnson brought wheat to Amsterdam. And that concludes our tour. You're like, what the fuck is this? So, you know that's what they were going to get, which is why it was good that Mary took over. She's like, oh, my dad and Meredith's dad and my dad are from Milwaukee, and my dad used to live a street across from Jeffrey Dahmer. And one day he was taping off the apartment, and they were bringing out bags to the police cars. And it was like, I had no idea there were body parts in those bags, and they were cooked. And that's like the only thing I really have to know about Milwaukee. And they're like, oh, we were going to talk about a dead cat that walks around these caves. Okay, fine.
She just tells that same story, but now she adds the cooked body parts.
Yeah, now they're cooked.
And then everyone's like, what the fuck with this lady? Everyone's kind of cracking up. And Mary tells us, yeah, but my dad did lie sometimes. So hope he's not lying about that. Because I've literally just told everybody.
The body parts in Tupperware, like the leftovers.
So she's like, so you can see why I didn't come here, basically. He's like, okay, well, that was the beer kids don't even try. I think, well, I guess we should officially quit now. Had this thing. We're done. We're fucking done.
So back to Heather and Whitney. And Heather's like, you know what? You've planned a great trip and you did a great job. But there's something I want to talk to you about. I was talking to Meredith yesterday at the casino, and she said that people are talking about Prism at your business. And she's
in like, what way? Is it catching on?
Well, it's legitimacy. Basically,
what's
you're
that?
You're white labeling jewelry from China. Everybody's talking about it.
White labeling?
I don't have a racist bone in my body. No, that's not what that means. Well,
what are you combing your hair with?
Straightening brush. No, Whitney, focus.
Wait, now what are you combing your hair with? Cheese. It's okay, Whitney.
Whitney, why are you pretending you're underwater?
I'm under bear.
Whitney, come back. I've had too much burr. So
she's like, well, that needs to stop because that's really shitty because that's my business. And there's like nothing shady because it's pictures and it was a social media post. And so when somebody saw the social media post, they said, is this one of your friends who's doing it?
Whitney, the social media post had pictures from your website that were the same exact pictures from the Alibaba. So the fact that it was posted on the website on a social media does not change that. And it doesn't matter if it was one of your friends. But I love that Whitney immediately goes to, this was Meredith. Because of course she does.
Right. So, and it's like, it's blatantly from like, blah, blah. So Whitney's like, well, whoever said that's fucked up. And she goes, well, I mean, what Heather was saying feels like the stuff that's out there would could kill your brand if your brand ever had come to life in the first place. Did she not fucking learn her lesson after last year? Stay out of MDs. I mean, DMs. Stay out of documents.
And she's like, last year, Meredith nearly lost all of her friends because she dug up DMs about Angie.
And then we see all the stuff from last year about, well, I heard that Angie might be involved with the British mafia, the Greek mafia, or whatever her and Monica were talking about, like fighting over who started that and that whole thing. But Whitney, how many brands do you have? I wouldn't worry about this. Doesn't Britney have like 30 brands a week? She's always coming out with some new brand. Now, have we heard of Whitney Rose, Bobby Justin, you know, Filet of Fish, whatever the hell other brand she's got now? No, last season, no, because now she's got this new one called Soul. And that's a big deal right now. Have you seen the TikToks of that? Where the
No, I have not seen her Soul.
There's a girl who's like, not me being the one who worked for Soul. And then she does like.
Well, when I think of Whitney, I think of Soul.
Well, it's S-O-L with like a line over the O.
Oh.
So which.
Soul.
Yeah. So it's basically these people are saying this is a huge MLM and it's a scam. And the company had an event that they all had to pay their own airfare and tickets for. It was like a couple hundred bucks to pay for the ticket for this business affair. And they all were going to show up. But right before the event, they canceled it and they didn't reimburse them. And instead threw some free event where anybody could come to kind of make it up to them. But it was just basically, you know, this girl saying they're scammed and it was this big MLM thing, which, guys, Utah, Whitney, business, Justin Rose, MLM. What do you think it's going to be? Okay, get ready to climb the fucking pyramid because that's what you're signing up for. Now, that said, Whitney, shame. Shame, Whitney.
Well, I think it's embarrassing and shameless that Meredith has gone back to her old tricks. That's just so fucked up. I think she's so pissed off that I started a jewelry company. She comes from a place of, like, gatekeeping and fur. She doesn't come from a place of abundance.
I don't know why that made me laugh. Like Whitney is of a place of abundance.
Bullshit, spiritual talk.
She doesn't have an abundance candle. Gatekeeping. Where's your abundance candle? All I see is a gatekeeping candle. She's never supported me, my business. Anytime I've done something for my business, she has not shown up.
Well, you're usually in the middle of trying to ruin her entire reputation, to be fair. Not that Meredith is completely innocent in this stuff with Whitney, but oh my gosh. So then Heather's like, well, it didn't feel like she was the source of the information. I think that you should ask her where she heard it. You're going to see these people. You see those people over there holding those things? The cameraman? Okay, you've got it. That's good. Wait for one of those. Then when Meredith comes in, you're going to ask her. It's going to be wacky. We're like Laverne and Shirley. This is crazy. You're going to get her. You go get her, Whitney.
You know what? If she were my friend, she would be like, hey, Whitney, did you see this? Nope, she's going to all of you to make me look, hold on, line, bad, and discredit me. That's fucked up.
So she's like, don't say anything in the Sprinter van, okay? Sprinter van's bad. Wait till later until we're in the second Sprinter van.
With everyone.
So then the other crew is back at the guest house looking through the fridge, and then Whitney calls Maylee to try and have a passive aggressive scene, but it doesn't really work. She's like,
so you didn't come to Miller. And Millie's like, curling. But you didn't tell me you were going curling. Yeah, well, I would like a heads up. Okay, this fight's over now.
Hey, I want to let you know that we're on our way back and then we're going to Hurley. Can you have everyone start getting ready? Because we have to leave at 5.
So everyone gets back. Everyone is in glam. Everyone's getting made up to have their fancy dinner at Harley Davidson. And Heather and Whitney are talking. Now we're back in the Sprinter van, by the way. We had like a little interlude. Now we're back. Now everyone is in a Sprinter van together to go to Harley Davidson. And Heather's like, Whitney, are you excited for tonight? Just a reminder, this is Sprinter van number 2, which means you are all good to go for your confrontation. Okay.
And so Whitney, you see Whitney like,
oh, okay.
She like picks up a cane like she's about to do her dance. It's like,
where's my light? Okay. It has been an amazing trip, Sister Heather. Thank you so, or should I say, Laverne?
The one it from Laverne been, and Shirley, not the empty nest, Laverne. Just want to clarify because I learned there's a difference.
It has been amazing until I found out that y'all are talking about my business. It has been brought to my attention that some are starting woomers. Can you guess who I'm talking about?
Nastiness too, that I buy pieces from Alibaba, which
I'm
is completely
sorry, I never
false.
Said that. I never said that. I said, I heard you were getting your pieces from Alibaba.
What was that, Meredith? I didn't hear the last part of that word that you swallowed.
Alibaba.
I can't tell if that's Meredith or Maylee speaking. Maylee's like,
sis.
Oh, Alibaba. Thanks, Maylee.
Well, I didn't think anyone started the rumor. I simply told Heather that I felt badly about the rumor because I'm a professional in the business with multiple awards. I could have helped you through this had you called me, but apparently you don't need my help because you'd rather sit on the internet and shop at Alibaba.
As someone who has a small jewelry shop in Park City that was once robbed by Jen Shaw's assistant, I have a lot of expertise in these things, but that's fine if you don't want to tap the natural resource that lives with you here in Milwaukee.
So she's like, but if you were concerned, why didn't you pick up the phone and call me? Ha!
And Meredith is like, because you didn't want to discuss it with me. You had every opportunity to say, hey, I'm starting something in your industry. And you, do you have advice? Anything? Do you want to have some investment? Would you like to be on Shark Tank? You clearly didn't want my advice. And that's fine. That's fine.
And then Whitney goes,
well, if there was something wrong with my business, I would come to you then.
And she goes, well, then there's nothing wrong with your business. I didn't say there was something wrong with your business.
Do you feel like there's something wrong with my business?
Well, do you? Yeah, you feel like there's something wrong, then you would have come to me. But apparently there's nothing wrong with your business because you didn't come to me about it, so there's nothing wrong with it.
Is there something wrong? What are you saying is wrong?
You came under fire on social media. Oh my God, does someone have a blanket? I'm on fire. No, it's an expression. Your business was under fire and it's not literally under fire. It's okay. And I felt badly that that was the case. I'm not sitting here trying to figure out your business. I'm
well, you're talking about it. You're talking about it, that's for sure.
Well, I just don't understand why you're so concerned. But you're talking to all of them and not me.
I'm not concerned, Whitney. I'm not concerned. Mary's like, oh, Lord have mercy. I can't. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Whitney is like really upset about this fighting because this is a special night for her. This fighting that she started, by the way, I'd like to point out. She's like,
guys, this is a really cool night for me. I'm a Harley Davidson girl. I love it. They've opened up the museum. They don't do this. We're having a dinner inside. It's my dream. A gourmet feast at a motorcycle museum.
Can we put a pin in this? Ow!
Whitney, give me back my comb.
Mary, why did you bring your straightening comb to Harley Davidson?
So they decide that it's time to go to the museum for dinner. So they go in, and Whitney tells us about Harley Davidson.
Had lunch in a cave and dinner at a Harley Davidson showroom. Sure.
They're really going for it. She talks about how she loves Harley Davidson. I love a Harley. I ride a hog. I own a hog. We go to Sturgis. So it's cool. I get to share it with my friends. So we see all that stuff.
Hey, I have a question. Huh. I'm not being funny. I woke up at like 5 in the morning, in the middle of the night, and I had a pressing question on my brain because the stupid episode, I was like, it was like a Whitney Rose question.
Wait a second. If you go to Sturgis, but you live in Utah, how do you get your motorcycle to Sturgis?
Do you drive? You don't drive your motorcycle. Do you have to put your motorcycle in like a carrier thing and like tow it like a horse thing? Like how do you get?
Well, or
you,
like a trailer or something, or some
you
people
put it in
have
a trailer.
Yeah, like a motorcycle hitch that they can put, or like a pickup. You can put it on a motorcycle hitch in the back of a pickup.
I literally woke up thinking about this. How do you get to Sturgis if you don't live near Sturgis with your motorcycle? Yeah. That's a long way to go on a motorcycle.
Yeah, you haul that bee.
So do you think you would, Ronnie, do you think you'll go to Sturgis with your Vespa?
No, I don't even know what Sturgis is.
It's like this massive motorcycle rally that happens in like North or South Dakota. And it's like if you have a motorcycle, you go to Sturgis in August or July or whatever.
People are different, and we don't get respect. Like
you go to Starbucks.
Motorcycle people hate us. When I first started, I used to go to the canyon. I used to do Coldwater Canyon all the time to practice on the hills and like those canyons all around the west side. And one of them, it's famous, there's like a motorcycle cafe where everybody, like all the Harley people park all the way up the canyon. And you go in, and I went in because I was like, oh, I heard this was a great ride, and it was a good ride. But then I walked in and it was just felt like I was in a Western. I felt like everybody dropped their, you know, their teacup spoon. Well, I guess that would be. But it's like you could hear a clink in there, and I just felt like everyone was like, Vespa, you little Vespa faggito burrito. No. For dinner.
Go to Neptune's Net is also a big biker hangout. And also Crappens, it's a Crappens friendly establishment.
Yeah. So this dude comes out and talks about Harleys.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you again. This guy, he's like the VP. He's a Davidson, not like Eileen, but like of Harley. And so Whitney is like fanning out at this like guy who is, you know, he's got Harley Davidson in his blood because he is descendant from the founders of the company. And you think with Harley Davidson, especially like the story you just told, it's like, oh, Harley Davidson. And this guy comes out, he's like, hey guys, I'm Bill Davidson. Welcome to our factory. Hope you guys have enjoyed. You guys want a hug? You guys can have a hug. Welcome to Harley Davidson.
Yeah. Basically, you know, my grandpappy had a dream. He said, I just want people to be able to ride hugs. But we couldn't figure that out, so we chose motorcycles.
My grandpappy, he had a dream. He said, I want to create a vehicle that instead of you just get on it and you go someplace, you get on it and you sit on it for 5 minutes while all the neighbors around you get really annoyed because you haven't actually gone anywhere with your motorcycle yet, but they can't hear anything in their own damn homes because your motorcycle's so loud. And then after 5 minutes, you finally decide to leave and go where you're going to go.
Yeah, so everybody's like, wow, motorcycles. Wow, Whitney, how exciting. Look, there's a motorcycle over there as well. Whitney, look, it's a motorcycle. She's like, wow. This is my dream come true.
Next season, Whitney Rose starts a company, Barley Favidson.
I think you got those motorcycles off of Alibaba.
Friend of a friend on Facebook.
So Bronwyn is like, I stay surprised at how these women choose to act. Like, it was a full-on assault on the Sprinter van, and now they're on their best behavior. They're acting like ladies. It like took Harley Davidson Museum to bring out the classy side of these hoes. Like, I like, are we in the upside down right now? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, welcome. You're on the Housewives show. I don't know. Did you apply for a different job? Did you think you were going to be working at Starbucks? Okay. They probably have better health care. They're unionized now, right?
Starbucks.
I'm rocking.
Okay, so then Brittany, so they all sit down. So Brittany's like, well, cheers to Whitney. And she's like, well, I wanted to give everyone one of my custom designs. They're like, great. Mary's like, oh, wonderful. I hope this doesn't turn my skin green.
Yeah.
I really, whether you want it or not, I want to gift it to you all. It's called a straightening comb. It's like,
Whitney, give that back.
I wanted to give these to you earlier, but it's like, I found out that you're all talking about it, so that's why I was emotional. So, Meredith, I just think that if you truly cared, you'd pick up the phone and call me and not talk about what was out there.
Drop it already. It's like the typical Whitney, like, bring it up every freaking day, why don't you? Every minute of every day. And Meredith is like, you are making this into a much bigger deal than it really is. All right? You know? I felt badly about it. That was it. Now, Lisa, did I say that to you when you brought it up to me? It's like she's finally passing the torch to Lisa because it's not even Meredith, you know? So Whitney goes,
wait a minute. Bottom line, she's not. And Lisa goes,
yeah. You know what? I feel like I started the conversation. It was me. Hi.
But I'm
hi, confessing over here. It's me.
I'm talking to Meredith.
Meredith, you should be talking to me because I'm the one who did it.
Meredith, I'm talking to you. Please don't pull other people in, even though I'm addressing this at a group dinner for some reason. Can we keep this between you and I?
And then Lisa's like, you know what? I think you need some help because you're off. You're saying something that's not true and you're making it something that is not, Whitney. And Whitney's like,
stop steamrolling me. Stop it. better stop it. And Lisa's like, oh
God, are we going to do that? Should I talk like you now?
Did Whitney mock her voice? I can never tell because Whitney's voice doesn't really change.
I couldn't tell. And Angie's like, let's not mock each other. And Lisa's like, it's awful being attacked online. It's awful having people say things about you. And Whitney's like,
but what I'm mad about is y'all talked about it and didn't come to me directly. You know, that's why I married Justin. He works in direct sales. He's direct. You know what you did? That's called gossip.
Whitney.
Yes.
Whitney.
Yes, Lisa. Whitney. Lisa has a question.
Whitney, yes. You did the same thing to me, Whitney. You and Angie, you talked to Meredith about me, and guess what? That's also gossip. Are we in a shooting range? Because boom!
Wait, I don't get it, though.
No, because I worked really hard on this friendship with Meredith. I'm like, I don't need you guys going to her and saying, do you trust her? Do you think she's your friend?
But I'm steamrolled. That's called gossip, too.
Literally not gossip. Is this your new that's word, steamroll? Steamroll? Is that what that's your word?
You're a steamroller.
Stop saying it.
Comb straightener, steamroller.
It is a great word. I'm surprised it's not from Greek. And Lisa's like, you feel steamrolled when I come to you with Fox? Is that what you feel steamrolled by? Listen.
Lisa, I don't hear anything from you since I left your event because I voiced my opinion about and didn't match how you felt about Whitney. And now I don't hear from you anymore. I am Greek.
We went to lunch and I told you I don't care if you back Whitney. And I know you're backing Whitney. And what got me upset is you meddling with my friendship with Meredith. And I'm not meddling in your friendship with Whitney. And I don't care that you started with Whitney. That's your opinion. I don't care that you're friends with her, but you're saying I do. I'm like, I love Lisa saying she's not steamrolling as she goes on for like five paragraphs.
But they won't stop either because Whitney just keeps saying steamrolling over and over. And Andy's like, Whitney is stuck. Okay, Lisa, I will take over. Why are you ignoring me?
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck.
By the way, Whitney has no problem with pulling an Angie for her fight too, by the way.
Right, of course. Yeah. So then Lisa's like, you know what? I say exactly what I mean. No, I care that you went with her and I said you in confidence. And you know what? I said you just changed our relationship. That's what I said. It's the same thing I told the Wendy's when they changed their French fries to crispy instead of soft. I said, I might not be back here, but I probably will. I'll see you tomorrow. And I was back in 5 minutes. I went around the circle and I was back. But the point is, I might be back and I might be not.
You're steamrolling me.
That's called gossip.
So Angie's like, you don't like that I'm just going to do whatever. I'm not going to just do whatever you want me to do. I don't give a fuck, watch out. Oh, she goes, yes, you do. Don't do that to me, you fucking bitch. Don't do that. I'm fucking mad right now. And it's just like, I didn't turn my fucking back on you. And I'm fucking pissed at you. And she's like, Mary, am I a loyal fucking friend? And Mary's like, Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like she never said anything. And Lisa's like, wait a minute. She came to you verbatimly. And then Angie stands and Angie's like, it is time I make an iconic scene now. I will stand and kick a chair, kick. And they're like,
she does like a musical theater finger point where it's like, you know, when you're really angry at someone, you sort of point down at them like this. But when you're in musical theater, you point up like, and another thing. Yeah. So she's like, and another thing, I am Greek. So she stands up and then she's like, wait, I need to make this more iconic. So she sort of like does this like kick with her back foot and the chair just goes, falls over. And everyone's like, you knocked over your chair, Angie. Was that supposed to be raising the stakes of some sort?
So she's like, you call me, you kept me on the phone every day, and I've with in the middle of the night for you, and you can't, I just, you know what, whatever. So Lisa's screaming at her back, and she's like, you called, I told you exactly how you made me feel, and, you know, what is this?
This is where Lisa's like, you know what? Guess what you did? You would call me every fucking day. And I told you exactly how you made me feel and what you did to me. And you couldn't deny it. And I was like, you know what? I need a break from you. And you needed a break from me. And I don't think you've been a good friend to me lately. And Angie's like, I am a good friend. I have been loyal. I have been there for Lisa 24/7. And it's never enough. I brought her spanakopita. I brought her baklava. I brought her moussaka. What more could she possibly want?
Wait a minute. Let me try grape leaves. Lisa, would you like a grape leaf? You're not a good friend. That didn't work. She kicks another chair. She throws a pitcher on the ground. So Lisa's like, okay, you know what? You can go hang out with everybody but me. And she goes, wait a minute. Where were you this morning? And she goes, oh, why don't you just go call Electra? Isn't that what you do? Hold on, I have to go because it's Electra. I have to talk on the other phone because it's Electra. I'm sorry, Lisa. I can't listen to you anymore because it's Electra. Which is so funny that Lisa is one of those friends that just calls and talks your fucking head off all day, never lets you say a thing. And then you finally have to be like, my child is on fire. I have to go.
I know.
Get away.
So the music, the whole show grounds to a halt because it's like, she brought up a child in the middle of an argument. How is this going to go? We all know children are off limits. So it's Brittany who's like, oh my God, I'm so excited. My first season that I get to say this. Let's not bring the kids into this. And Lisa's like, I'm not bringing the kids into it. It's her excuse to get off from me. And Angie's like, if I hang up, it's because I'm a responsible mother that pays attention to my child. And it takes at least 5 minutes for me to roll off of my mattress. So I need some lead time. Okay? Just give me some water. Thank you very much.
So furious because someone said her daughter. So she's like, I need water. Someone said daughter. I did not rhyme on purpose, but it works. Keep it in. Angie, you're not the editor of this show.
Still, roll it back.
So then from the top, she spends dinner, lunch, everything with Lisa. She listens to her all the time. And this is what she gets in turn, bringing up her daughter. And she says, for me, not having a mom, being a present mother is the number one goal. So for her to make that dig at me where it hurts the most, it is an all new low for her. She might as well have called my husband. Well, I guess that was last season. It turned out okay. But still, this is terrible. Oh, God, she didn't say anything about the kid.
Yes.
You just have to go talk to the kid. Okay.
Mary's like, well, this is very emotional. And you guys do love each other. I don't know. I'll just throw that out there. So Brittany's like,
everybody just looks at Mary like, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you trying to help?
What happened to you? So Brittany's like, okay, everyone, I have an announcement. So she's clinking her glass, but it's full. So it's just like click, click, click. Sort of bothered me.
And we know what it's about. We all fucking know that this is about a dick. And yes. Here we go.
She goes, I have an announcement. Jared and I, we are officially broken up. I had an epiphany. And Heather's like, epiphany? I've heard about this epiphany before. And then we see an extended montage of Brittany being like, guys, I had this epiphany. I like just like woke up and I had this epiphany about Jared. You know what? I had an epiphany. Starbucks worker. Yeah, my name is I had an epiphany. Thank you so much.
He's been blowing up my phone since last night, but I listened to you all. And I have to say, you guys, last night was so impactful for me. It was so impactful.
Yeah, she goes, I literally thought you were going to go up to your bedroom and call Jared. And Mary's like, I didn't think she heard anything we said. That's why I went to bed. And Mary's basically like, yeah, you know, every 5 minutes they're going to be back together. Just watch. I want my 5 minutes back. So Brittany's like, you know, if we're ever going to work out, it's not going to be now. So Bronwyn's like, well, you know, what are the things that you like about him? Like you said, you guys are best friends. I still don't know that I totally understand what's so special about him that makes him your best friend.
And Heather's like, he's an Osmond. Okay. He's royalty. And she goes, oh, is it because he's an Osmond? And she's like, no, I mean, no, I'm not a fame. I mean, come on. And Heather's like, oh yeah, that man walks into a room. He leads with Osmond. He signs the deals with Osmond. He has a little pet that looks just like him, but it's a girl. And they start singing duets as an Osmond. Okay. People want to know he lives on Osmond Lane. And Lisa's like, wait, does he live on Osmond Lane? So get back together with them for sure. They have the best box seats at the temple.
And we find out that Osmond Lane is an actual lane in Provo. And like in the 90s, Lisa says if you lived on Osmond Lane, you had cash. But she didn't know if Donnie and Marie actually ever lived on Osmond Lane. But it's like the shit. So Heather's like, are you in love with him? And she's like, yes, I am in love with him. And Brahman's like, well, are you in love with him or are you in love with Osmond? And she goes, I think you should worry about your own marriage, Bronwyn. She's like, oh, okay. Melly's like, oh.
Yeah. Wow. And then Bronwyn's like, yeah, I don't have a ton to worry about in my marriage, but thank you. So, I mean, look, I get that she's like, shut the fuck up, Bronwyn. This isn't to do with you. But everybody else said it first, you know?
Yeah, I think that Brittany is wrong here because Brittany has been, you know, using everyone's time to like be sounding boards for her relationship. She's one of those people that's like, guys, what should I do? I just need my girlfriends right now. What should I do? And then the moment someone's like, well, do you really have feelings for this guy? Or is it like, you're just excited by the prospect? She's like, shut the fuck up. What about your marriage? It's like, no. You don't get to do that. Yeah. You don't get to take up all of our time, all of our screen time, ask us all of our opinions. And the moment you get a little bit of tough love or a difficult question, you snap back. It doesn't work that way because you wasted all of our time with your stupid questions about this guy. So, you know.
Uh-uh. Yeah, but no one wants to say, yes, I'm dating him because he's fucking famous and Utah royalty.
Oh, I totally understand why she did it.
On TV because, you know, the guy's going to see that. And he's already saying, hi, friendy, in every text that he sends her to make it very clear that they're only friends.
Yeah.
So she's like, you're fucking up my bag, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, I totally understand why she did it. I just hope she realizes that she's totally in the wrong. So Brahman's like, well, I don't really have a ton to worry about. And she's like, oh, how is it that you and what's your husband's name again, old fogey? She goes, girl, you did not just tell me to worry about my marriage. You don't even know my husband's name, girl. And Brittany is like, well, every relationship is messy. And you have such strong opinions about your non-Osmond man. So just tell me, why did you choose your husband? What singing group and family is he part of?
Well, actually, I will have you know, I met him in a bar or at lunch or something. And his name is Todd. And the reason I'm with him is because he is hysterically funny. That's why, not because of his money, not because he started the Palm Pilot. It's because he pulled a nickel out from under my ear and pretended it was magic. And I really didn't know where that nickel came from. And then I said, what is that? Is that a song? And he said, I'm actually farting out the Pledge of Allegiance. And I just thought, wow, what a guy.
And then he offered me a sassafras. So Brittany is like, so were you interested in him because of his money? Because she's trying to like get Brittany back to be like, you're just as shallow as I am. And Bronwyn's like, oh, well, I had Google Finance's ass before I met him randomly one day at a bar for lunch. So yes, I was only interested in the money, Brittany.
And yeah, well, I mean, at least that's an honest answer. It's like, doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? So then she's like, well, you asked me about the Osmond thing. She goes, yeah, and it's a fair question. And so it's a fair question we get all the time. And so then she keeps on. She's like, and what's your age gap? 26 years. Are you attracted to him? She goes, am I physically attracted to my husband?
Because he has money or because we have an age difference? It feels like a real low blow, Brittany.
Have you ever known someone to get a boner over a Puddin' Pop?
No.
Me neither. Now imagine that melted and just being regular Puddin'. Would you be bone? Me neither. I hope that answers your questions.
She's basically saying, like, and then she tells us, like, oh, yeah, gold digger, evil stepmother. It's, like, so boring for me when someone asked this. So Brittany wanted to say that. I'm on my third nose, and that is a vein. Yes, bitch, it is. And I am on my third nose. That would be a read, but that's, like, and I'd be like, bravo. But, like, this bitch truly came to play today.
So then she's like, well, actually, I was working in finance when I met Todd. And if we got divorced tomorrow, I would not have access to most of the stuff he has because we're genuinely in a real relationship that does include physical attraction and it alludes a mental attraction. I don't know what that means. And it includes a best friendship. And I wouldn't take Todd to the cleaners. And that's why we don't have a prenup.
Mary's like, you don't go to the cleaners? Mary's like, you don't clean your clothes? No, it's an expression, Mary. So Whitney's like, I see what Brittany's doing. She's doing the classic stereotype. Bronwyn is a gold digger. I'm like, wow, Whitney, I'm so glad you were able to figure that out. Is it when Brittany said, are you a gold digger? Is that what tipped you off?
She's intimidating that she's a digger of gold, and I don't like it because I dig for gold.
I love when Whitney goes, that happened to me. I've been accused of being a gold digger because Justin's 18 years older than me. I'm like, I don't think anyone really looks at Justin and says, wow, look at all the gold diggers he's attracting. look at all those women trying to climb up a direct sales, like middle management ladder.
He was heading the MLM. He was one of the leaders of the MLM. I mean, he was vag for sure.
Wow. What?
Yeah, Justin, yeah. Wow. So she's like, you love who you love. And that's why I stand up for straight white rights. We're going to Trixie Mattel later, everybody.
So Bronwyn's like, did anyone else have a question about my husband's dick or how I enjoy it? And Heather's like, no prenup. I mean, you have no prenup. She goes, no, we do not have a prenup. She goes, but that just seems like he's such a savvy businessman. He would not marry someone without a prenup, you know? And Bronwyn's like, yeah, well, Todd is such a savvy businessman that do you think my snarky, lame-ass hoodwinked him? Todd is successful, and he has all these assets to protect, and he didn't see that I was coming in as a gold digger. There's something genuine. And that's actually a good point. But, you know, she's probably had to deal with this a lot, so she's, like, ready with all her talking points. But it's a good point. She's like, well, if Todd is such a smart businessman, like, how do you think I, like hoodwinked him as a gold digger?
Right. And it's just such a tired fight to even be having with people. But I'm glad they're getting it out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, gross. What a gross fight. So then she's like, there, it's genuine. And Meredith is like, well, I mean, this is all very personal information. I mean, Seth and I chose to get a postnup when things were a little dicey. I mean, we didn't know. You know, perhaps he gave it all to his first wife. Who knows? I'll tell you this. I'm not going to ask. But if it comes into my DMs, it's not my fault.
Tonight has been wild and all over the place. But we still have some things to figure out. Who wants to go to a drag show? If you want to go, you have to change in the Harley Davidson bathroom.
This is so Salt Lake City.
We're going, and the costume change has to be in the bathroom, and then you have to be on a bus in 5 minutes.
So they change from their Harley Davidson drag to their drag, and now Bronwyn is wearing a hot dog costume. And
came dressed like Leanne Locken.
I was cracking up. But actually, you know what was so funny? Because she's like, it's actually couture. There's Moschino. And then when you see the, like, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But then as you look at it, you realize she's wearing basically like a cape and she's wearing a dress and it has a squiggle and she has a little hat. And I was like, this is oddly kind of amazing to me because we turn it into a costume because we see all the parts. But if you really look at it, they are actually just garments that together look like a hot dog. And I was like, I kind of think that's amazing. I would never wear it.
Whitney Rose.
Wow.
If you really look at that outfit, it's actually a dress and a cape, but they make it look like a hot dog.
You got it. Nailed it.
No, but I'm meaning that like a hot dog costume is actually something that's sewn in, like it's a bun. It's a bun, yeah. And a hot dog. Like it's Leanne Locken poking her head through a hot dog sausage. And this one, it looks like that. And then as you look closer, you're like, no, it's just a dress.
But it looks like a hot dog. Aha!
And then she's even wearing the little like mustard squirt top hat thing.
Which is disturbing because that means that someone was putting mustard on that hot dog and the top fell off and they just put it on the hot dog.
Yeah, it's whatever. Kind of mixing, you know? I think that's kind of where they lost it. And they
it should have been a little pickle. Like a little piece of relish.
Right. Or like something that makes it like looks like a hot dog, but maybe like curved, like there was a bite taken out of the top or something. I don't know. So yeah, she's dressed like a damn hot dog. And so they go to the drag show and Mary goes, you know, the heart coat, that's fashion, but the hot dog is costume. That's
it is. It does trend Katy Perry. Like,
will you fire me? Is that too mean? Will you fire me? Like, no, Mary, you can say that.
So they get to the drag show and, there's like a Trixie Mattel impersonator outside that leads them in. And then Whitney gives us this fascinating backstory, which I'm not sure I totally believe. She goes,
my love and fascination for drag started when I was a little girl. I think I was about 8 years old. I was in Palm Springs with my dad and a drag queen walked down the street. And, you know, being like sheltered, a little sheltered Utah Mormon girl, I was like, that's shocking to me. And my fascination with drag really began. And then I started seeking it out because drag brings communities together.
Like, I just was laughing at the idea of like Whitney, 8-year-old Whitney seeing a drag queen on the street and be like,
wow, my life has changed.
And then just going home and being like, I need more. I need more. And they're like, Whitney saw one drag queen, then she started to seek it out. When she used the words like, and then I started to seek it out.
It was a drug. I couldn't stop. And that's why I married Justin.
No. So, yeah, that was just an insight into her childhood.
So weird. And then Heather's like,
no, we're just girls. Girls on a trip. Sometimes we fight, sometimes we get along, but at the end, we're all an L and we're all an S, Laverne and Shirley. Some of us have receipts, some of us have proof, some of us...
Oh, for fuck's sake, just close the circle already. The end.
The end. Well, what a honestly a hilarious trip.
That's called gossip.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this recap. This was so fun. We still have Orange County tomorrow. Who knows what's going to be coming down the pike with that one. And if you can't get enough of Mormonism on TV, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, we're recapping it. We got a fresh new recap coming up on Monday, or I think it's Monday, early next week. Whenever it is, we decide to release it. Thanks, everyone, for being here, and we will catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's get feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.